The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Glad you are here this morning. We continue digging into the latest of the news. This time we're switching over to the legal world from the medical for my last guest here. Of course, that was medical and legal, really. We were talking about that with COVID policy. But Mike O'Neill joins me from Landmark Legal. And it is so great having you back, Mike. There is just... gosh, where do we even start? Over the weekend, the Supreme Court ends up voting 7-2 to pause the refugee flights to Aragua, I don't know, whatever it is. But needless to say, the dad of the year from Maryland is supposed to be returned. We're not going to do any more of that because we know that we have a MS-13. Well, we have a lack of MS-13 equity here. We need more. We need more beatings and rapists and criminals in our country here. But take it away. What do you think about what you've seen so far? 7-2 vote on the weekend.
And we are. I can understand. It's confusing to me, and I'm trying to stay on top of all this. I can understand how confusing it would be to somebody who just is trying to tap into the news of the day and understand what's going on here. Sure. So let me try to unpack a few things for you here. The Supreme Court over the weekend took a really, I think, almost unprecedented step. It was almost a midnight order. It was something that it was issued, an unsigned order, that halted the proceedings, the removal proceedings of all those Tren de Aragua members going down in Texas and Louisiana, respectively. Remember, let's set the stage here. Is the Tren de Aragua was designated a foreign terrorist organization with ties to the Venezuelan government. That means... We talk about this as gangs. A lot of people use the terminology of gangs, such criminal gangs. I don't really like that terminology because I don't think it places it in the proper context. The context here is these are narco-terrorist organizations that are here in the United States at the behest of elements of a foreign national government. And so these are narco-terrorists. This is almost a defense national security operation rather than a criminal operation.
So when you have the president deporting these individuals using that 1790s era law, you're thinking that this war, that it is a sort of war, right? Is that where you're going?
Well, yes, certainly. Absolutely. This is the Alien Enemies Act. This is a law that's been on the books, as you just said, for a couple hundred years. But this is an important law that vests the president with the power to take actions to remove individuals who are in this country who are participating in militaristic narco-terrorism. Again, I think that's a really good term, narco-terrorism. Think about this. We think about the effect that 9/11 had on this country. 3,000 Americans died. But also let's think about the effect that these narco-terrorists have in our country, importing fentanyl, for example. How many tens of thousands, almost 100,000 Americans die every year from fentanyl overdose? We talk about human trafficking. We're talking about all kinds of murder. We're talking about really terrible. This law, the Alien Enemies Act, is reserved for the worst of the worst. These TDA members, these Tren de Aragua members, are really the worst of the worst, and that's why it's an exceptional law, an exceptional remedy utilized in exceptional circumstances. And I think by hook or by crook, we are really in exceptional circumstances in this point in our country. We had open borders for years under Joe Biden. He imported, actually, people who let anybody in virtually. And so it is these TDA members present in our country represent a clear and present danger to the American people. So the president took these actions. And again, it's a lot to unpack. But ultimately what's happened is to the extent they haven't already been removed to El Salvador, they are residing in confinement in Texas and Louisiana. And what happened was they have, you know, they have the best lawyers in the country acting on their behalf, apparatchiks of the Democrat Party and of the left. And so they've petitioned for these individuals to have habeas proceedings. And what happened was a couple weeks ago, SCOTUS the Supreme Court ruled that these individuals are entitled to some sort of due process. And this due process, again, these are TDA members, not that Garcia guy who's already down there. But these are TDA members are entitled to habeas petitions and habeas proceedings. Well, that's going on now. But the Supreme Court, again, over the weekend, fast-tracked a lot of this stuff and decided it was going to weigh in on an emergency petition to it and say, we're going to issue an injunction and we're going to stop any removal of these individuals pending any of these outcomes of these habeas readings. Well, this is problematic for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Supreme Court can only hear cases. Again, it's the court of last resort, Bill. It's the court where when you have an appeal, you have a district court issue an opinion, you have an appellate court, a mid-level appellate court issue a decision, and then you have the appeal. The ultimate end game is you have the Supreme Court hear the case. Well, the Supreme Court hijacked all that process and set aside all of its normal processes, all of its that it follows, and just decided it was going to issue this order, and it was going to certify this class of individuals too. It's going to loop all those TVA members into one certifiable class. Well, the Supreme Court doesn't do that, and under our procedural regular orders of procedure here, it's incumbent upon a district court to have a factual hearing to determine whether the elements of class certification are met. And again, these are all procedural safeguards that are put in place to ensure the due process of law. The bottom line here is what happened was Supreme Court late at night issued this opinion that really hijacked that. Very disappointing from my perspective, particularly since it was a 7-2 opinion. I encourage all your listeners to take on and read Justice Alito's dissent in this, where he really lays out a lot of the problems with this. Justice Alito is a clear voice of reason here who really kind of burns through all of the noise that's going on and really gets right to the heart of it.
And so would it be fair to say that probably joining him was Clarence Thomas?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
All right. What was disappointing was the fact that there were a couple other justices who've so far been generally okay from my perspective, who weren't part of this opinion, namely Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. But Justice Alito did issue this forceful dissent for what good that is, but it certainly does highlight a lot of the problems here. But this is from the bigger perspective. What's problematic about this is that we're in this new era here where it just seems this unceasing lawfare is continuing to be waged, and we're all having to wrestle with all these jurisdictional procedural matters, and a lot of you're setting aside a lot of the normal order of business to somehow some way protect these bad guys, and I think that's really unfortunate.
Mike O'Neill from the Landmark Legal once again, also Landmark Legal Foundation, the Ronald Reagan Law Center. I wanted to touch in. By the way, you can find out more and read up on this, landmarklegal.org. I want to make sure and get that, even though I'm going to share it later this morning anyway on my blog. Where do we find when it comes to the deportation world? Because I want to be clear here that all of these Tren de Aragua folks, these folks, were never authorized to be here. Is that true?
Right.
Never, ever legally authorized to be in this country, correct?
Yeah, the individuals who are here, I mean, that's always your entry, and that's the initial point that needs to be made, that none of these people are here legally. And so
none.
If you want to talk about the Garcia case, for example, this is a guy who's in a different gang. This is an MS-13 member who is here illegally, and that needs to be established, and that needs to be reported and repeated over and over again. And that's why it kind of boggles the minds for somebody watching this, and you're saying, well, wait a minute, these guys are here illegally anyway. They're getting sent back to either their country of origin, in the case of the Garcia gentleman, or narco-terrorists being imprisoned in an El Salvadoran prison because they're part of a narco-terrorist organization. And they can't be sent back to their Venezuelan government because they have connections with Venezuela. Needless to say, also, Venezuela is an adversary of the United States.
Now, what I'm trying to understand here, and I'm hoping maybe you can help other people understand this too. If you are here illegally, you have never been authorized to be here.
Right.
Why does all of a sudden there is a magical demand for due process to return someone who never was supposed to be here in the first place? And the reason I bring this up is that if this kind of behavior stands in the judiciary and in the United States larger, what they're essentially saying is that everyone who is here illegally will have to have a hearing, whether it's 10, 20, 30 million. That's essentially saying no one's going home. What do you believe here? What do you believe is going on here?
Yeah. I think now it's becoming clear that this was part of an organized effort by the Biden administration, to import hundreds of thousands of millions of individuals who are here illegally to break the system. That they know that there are laws on the books and there's Supreme Court cases and precedental cases on the books that afford individuals who are subject to removal proceedings some element of due process. Now, what does that mean? You know, does that mean a notice and hearing before an administrative law judge? Does that mean a hearing where they're able to petition for?
Why isn't it just as simple as, okay, where is your green card or your visa? You don't have one. Goodbye. Okay.
Right. Exactly. But I think now that they've mired this cabal of attorneys, cabal of interest groups, aided by the importation of tens of millions of illegal immigrants into this country, have really, with the goal, one of their outstanding goals is to say, okay, we know that they have laws on the books. We know we're going to be able to hold the Trump administration's feet to the fire. We know we have sympathetic judges that have been sympathetic judges who are going to bog down this process. And we're going to break the system by simply overwhelming it. And I think that's important to know. This is why it's important here that the Supreme Court speak with one voice and say, okay, to the extent to which these individuals are entitled to any kind of due process, whatever that means, substantive due process or procedural due process, that means that they should be entitled to what? A notice and a hearing, maybe in front of an ALJ, administrative law judge, and you have a lot of administrative law judges who can process these quickly. But this instance, there's no way district courts can hear tens of thousands, if not millions, hundreds of thousands, millions of cases. It's just an impossibility, and your point is well taken. Well, we throw up our hands, okay, universal amnesty, because there's no way to deal with this. I think that certainly is an end game, and it's important to talk about it and identify it as such.
What else should we be paying attention to as far as the lawfare drama this week that you think is most important? By the way, Mike O'Neill's with us this morning.
This is adjacent to this. This is what's going on with another, as I was talking about, the Garcia case. The district court judge in Washington, D.C., this judge had his case actually taken out of his case. This is where Supreme Court did the right thing, and they said, if you're gonna bring these petitions for these individuals who are being detained, you have to bring it in the venue where they're being detained. And that means you have to do it in either Texas or Louisiana, as I was saying. But this judge in Washington, D.C., another district court judge, decided he was going to revive this.
Oh, this is the Boasberg fellow, right?
Yeah, exactly. In criminal contempt. And now criminal contempt, again, here is an extreme remedy that's rarely invoked, particularly by a district court judge. I don't think it's ever been invoked by a district court judge when the case has been already taken out of his jurisdiction, out of his courtroom. But he revived this issue and now is attempting to hold the Trump administration in criminal contempt for defying his order. In other words, this was the order he gave where he said you have to turn the planes around. And of course, the Trump administration didn't have the capacity at the time to turn the planes around and halt the proceedings. They complied with the order to the extent that it was given, but they didn't comply with it, I guess, to the degree which he wanted it to. So this judge now is trying to find the Trump administration in criminal contempt. If there isn't a prosecutor that the administration designates to investigate this case, his opinion says, again, this judge says his opinion, well, he will designate an individual to investigate the Trump administration. Now, here we go. Are we going to have another special prosecutor a la Jack Smith investigating the administration? It's a big mess. Let me just bottom line this for you. It's a big mess. And for anybody listening to me, I can understand why your head is spinning.
Spinning, yeah.
Because trust me, us lawyers, our heads are spinning too, because this is really just we're in an era right now where every day it seems like something new is happening. We're just trying to get our heads around this. But procedurally speaking, the D.C. District or the D.C. Circuit has stayed that. So right now, there's not a current investigation trying to find the Trump administration in criminal contempt. But that is on the docket, and it is something that the administration has to contend with. And again, what's the bigger picture here? Is bog the administration down in this unceasing lawfare, stop the implementation of the agenda, slow it down, stop it, turn it around, have investigators bog down the system to prevent what? Ultimately, what the American people voted Donald Trump to do. And that was what? Get a hold of our immigration problem. So that's really the tragedy going away right now.
Yeah, and get rid of the people who never had any legal permission to be here in the first place here. Do you find ourselves, would you go so far as to say that we are now in a period in the law where it's a narco-tyranny in which, it's essentially anarchistic and the only time the law really applies is punitively to the people in some form or another? Is that where we find ourselves at the moment?
This is my worry here. This is one of my big concerns here, is that the loss of faith in the integrity of the judiciary, the best thing it has going for it. Remember, the federal judiciary doesn't have any enforcement capacity on its own, right? They don't have armies. They don't have a police force. They don't have any way to enforce their decisions. It's just incumbent upon the full faith. I use the full faith and credit kind of because that's illustrative of it. But it's incumbent on the full faith of the American people. We all believe that these judges and these justices are doing what's right, and so we trust them to do this. What I'm concerned about here is exactly what I was saying, is the fact that the American people overwhelmingly, and I'm going to say this, overwhelmingly voted in elected Donald Trump to implement an agenda. And one of his primary planks of running was to get a hold of the immigration process, is to address this crisis in our country of illegal immigration. And from the perspective of the American people, that process is his efforts to address that massive problem our country's facing is being hindered and hijacked by the judiciary. And it is a big problem that SCOTUS has to contend with. And I think it's a big problem that Congress is going to have to address. And I address this reluctantly. I wanted to see the judiciary fix this problem from its own perspective.
Doesn't appear that it's willing to. So does this mean that Congress then has to go through and strip jurisdiction from courts on certain matters?
Yeah, certainly. That's certainly something on the table. Also, there's other remedies. I mean, I don't want to go down this road, but impeachment is certainly a remedy. That's a constitutional remedy that's in the Constitution to address it. And again, I don't want to do that. I reluctantly come to this. But when you continue to see these opinions that are well outside the norm, and I'll be as diplomatic about this as I can. It's very, very disappointing from my perspective as somebody who practices in this area.
Very good. Mike O'Neill, Landmark Legal Center and Landmark Legal Foundation put all the information up, and it's great to stay in touch with you, and I appreciate you taking the time for the analysis this morning, and thanks for spinning our heads around several times. And but that's where we find ourselves. That's why I had you on, all right? Okay. Thank you very much, Mike. Be well.
Take care, Bill. Have a great day.
You too. 7:26. Wow. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Hi, this is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. I asked my staff what was the one thing they wish more people would do to save themselves money. Over
WP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
It's the Bill Myers Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
You know, I was so busy Saturday doing other things that I didn't go into downtown Medford or Grants Pass or Ashland. Did we end up having another day of rage in which the Democrats came out there protesting Trump? Just let me know. I'm curious. I know that over the rest of the state, there appear to be some. 1,000 people, according to a registered guard, they say 1,000 people rallied in downtown Eugene. Did we have the same thing happen in Medford or Grants Pass? I imagine maybe they did that at the courthouse in Josephine County right across there. Yeah, all the people that feel great love for everyone other than their actual fellow citizens. I think we have to love everybody else more, right? That distorted and inverted order of love I was talking about on Friday. All right. So certainly have that. You know, there's something else which was going on that was kind of interesting. Yesterday, I took Mom home after she was over for Easter dinner. It was great seeing her. We had her over to the house. Now, I see Mom just about every day or so. I take her home. And so I do the check, and I'm going through the refrigerator. And, she's almost out of milk. Okay, this is bad. Because she uses it to take the pills, the phalanx of pills, and all these other things. Got to have milk, got to have yogurt, you know, all these various things. And she is a organic baby. This is what she wants. She only wants organic. So I pop over to Safeway. And not that I normally shop at Safeway, but it's very near where she lives, out there, you know, Royal Avenue in that neighborhood over by Providence in Medford. And so I pop over there because that's the closest one. Okay, Mom, don't worry. I'll get you the milk and the bananas, and we'll get all this kind of stuff, everything that you need, okay? The basics until she does another food run, that kind of thing. And so I pop into Safeway. And there was not one drop of any organic dairy product in the entire store. It was like completely empty. It was all gone. And it had a notice on the door that said that there is, due to a nationwide shortage, we're having difficulties sourcing organic dairy. A nationwide shortage. Now, I knew we've had some issues with eggs. We've talked about that. Are you familiar with a nationwide shortage of organic? I remember there was a little bit of reporting on that back in January, February. People were kind of concerned about maybe some rising prices. But this is the first time I actually saw it. It was just empty. And Safeway, Albertsons, big chain, right? But there was none. It was all gone. It was empty. Okay, well, normally I would tend to shop at Sherm's, Food for Less. And so I just headed down Biddle, and they were loaded. They had no problem. In fact, I had no problem. So I'm wondering, is there a nationwide shortage or only a nationwide shortage for certain firms? I don't know. But are you seeing something like that popping up in your neighborhood grocery store? Just let me know. 770-5633. Just something that kind of struck me as odd. Going beyond the egg issue and going over to milk and cream and other dairy.
Voting is in progress for Bicoastal Media's Best of Southern Oregon contest, presented by
First Response Resolution has got it. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point, your local tax resolution experts. Visit firstresponseirs.com and talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer.
Hi, I'm Jim with the Beauty Mark Salon and Glitter Bar, and I'm on KMED.
By the way, we had a operator error of your lovely host this morning. For some reason, in my mind, Nick Card was coming in today to talk about the baseball thing. It's going to be tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I said, hey, Nick, where are you? He said, no, we agreed on Tuesday. He's like, okay, sorry about that. But yes, of course, my wife is going to love this. Oh, so you made a mistake? I thought you were the infallible one. Yes, I will fall on my sword. So Nick Card will talk. We'll talk that tomorrow. Thank you, counselor. All right. Oh, geez. 770-5633. Let me go to Michael. Michael, how are you doing this morning? Glad you found your phone. Well, what's good on your mind?
Oh, pretty good. I was wondering if you have you ever heard of chlorocalciferol?
Yeah, that's vitamin D3, right?
Actually, it's rat poison, according to the internet.
What, like calciferol?
Chlorocalciferol is used in rat poison.
That's fluoro. You added a fluoro to it. That's quite a big difference.
Chlorocalciferol, vitamin D3.
Uh-huh. Well, if that's the case, I've been taking capsules of rat poison for years and years and years.
So anyway, I can't figure out if it's the natural form of vitamin D that they're putting in the milk, which is from plants and stuff, or the synthetic one that they're using for the same thing they use for rat poison.
Something tells me it is probably a different version. I don't think that the system has descended to the point where they're feeding us rat poison yet. There is a drug though, which is a warfarin. Warfarin. I forget the name of. It's not warfarin, but they call it something different. But that is used as a blood thinner. Blood thinner.
Yeah, they use it for blood thinner. That's got to be safe.
Yeah, and they have to be, and they do this very carefully. They have to have you come in and do all sorts of blood testing to make sure that they don't overdo it.
I'm not making any statements. I'm asking anybody can tell me because I cannot figure out because nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Okay, let me see. Let me go to the vitamin D3 name. Much. What is the actual name? So I'm going to look at this right now.
I'm looking at my vitamins right here, chlorocalciferol, vitamin D3.
Okay.
5,000 milligrams.
Yeah, no, it's cholecalciferol. Yeah, form of vitamin D that is produced to the skin when exposed to sunlight. And it's, of course, that may be what it's converted to. And so the calci is the prior, and then it gets converted, I think, in the liver, maybe. All right, so anyway, you've got me on the tail of some great conspiracy, Michael. Thank you for the call, okay? Let me go to Wild Salmon. Hey, Wild Salmon, how you doing this Monday? Good to have you on.
Well, I'm upright and taking on coffee, so that's a good
thing for you. I don't think you had as much coffee as Mike O'Neill from Landmark. Man, I got to tell you, I had the fellow, who is it? Out in Josephine County, had Jeff ended up writing me saying, "Man, I want some of the coffee that he has." And I agree, and I'll tell you, wake you up.
Well, yeah, kind of like the president's spokesperson. Man, that lady can talk faster than you can think.
You got that right. What's on your mind today, though, huh?
Okay, well, you were talking about milk, and my wife went to the doctor, her primary on Friday,
mm-hmm.
and they go through and ask you questions. Have you been out of the country? Do you have any flu symptoms or cold symptoms?
Sure.
The last question they asked was, have you drank any whole milk products recently?
Really?
Now, I don't know what that's all about, but that was the last question that when they were checking us in, and we didn't drink any whole milk products. We drink, 1% or something, but I just thought it was interesting that they asked that question. I've never had them ask that before.
Yeah, what would it be about whole milk that they would find worthy of a talk or a question in a medical system? I don't know.
There must be something going on. Now, I heard very quickly a story of a couple of cows dying, and I've not been able to find it anymore. I did a search this morning for it, but what was that disease that the cattle had that their brains were wasting and
they were dying? Gosh, it's CJB or CJD, I think is what it is. It's a, you know, the name of an individual. It's a prion disease, I think is what they're talking about. They would go into the brain, you know?
Well, I saw an article about that somewhere. It's kind of one of those pop-up things that you look at and you go, oh, geez. And then I could never find it again that they had a couple cows die of something, and they were researching what happened to them. That was unexpected. But I don't know what else is going on. All I know is they ask us about that, and it was, you know, Providence Medical.
And do they ask you if you're feeling depressed and if you felt like killing yourself, things like that, or harming?
That's the dumbest thing in the world. If you feel like killing yourself, you're not going to put it down.
Yeah, chances are, I felt like killing myself last weekend. What about it? And then, because then you could just come back with, you know, talk to the Providence person and say, hey, listen, this is the state that practically wants to give you a license, you know, a license to die, as long as you do it through the medical system, right? You just go and get that done. But in all seriousness,
you're making me feel guilty because we did, both of us took the first COVID shot, the first round, because we're old.
No, a lot of people did. Now, I know when I was talking with Dr. Thorpe last hour, and of course, he focused, like he had mentioned, though, he focused on a very narrow part of medicine, and this has to do high-risk pregnancies. And high-risk pregnancies, of course, and of course, the fetal development, of course, seemed to have been really horribly affected with the COVID shots because, you know, it would cross the placenta barrier, causing all sorts of bleeding problems, according to him. So, yeah, I get, and yet they were pushing it on pregnant women. It's like, oh, my gosh, no wonder.
I wonder if there are any tests for ongoing problems of the result of the spike protein.
I think there are. I'm not a doctor, so I'm just kind of spitballing with you. I know that if there is a, if you're having a problem with unusual clotting, there is a test. I think they call it the D-dimer test to see if you have.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. One of the doctors from Canada was talking about that. But I've had all of a sudden, the last 3 or 4 years, I have high blood calcium. And they've done all kinds of tests and can't figure out why. And I've kind of decided I didn't care. And now they want me to go to the hematology oncology clinic. And
really?
I'm kind of not wanting to do that. So.
Steve, I wanted to ask you, and once again, this is just stuff I've read, okay? I'm not a doctor, but I will at least ask you, do you take vitamin D3?
I do.
Okay.
We both do.
Do you take vitamin D3 with vitamin K2?
My wife does. I don't take the K2.
All right. The reason I bring this up is that they're starting to combine, and once again, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm just a guy who reads a lot of stuff from medical doctors, so I'm not giving medical advice. But the reason they're now starting to include vitamin K2 in many vitamin D3 formulations is because vitamin K2 helps moderate blood calcium level. And the point of that is to keep the blood calcium from being deposited on the arteria or on your blood vessel walls, and they're trying to keep that from happening.
Right.
So that might be something to look into. Talk to your doctor about it. But they say it's usually best if you're taking a D3 to take K2 with it for that reason.
Why is it that those things that they say are good for you are so dang expensive?
Because they're worth it.
Yeah, I suppose. Okay. Well, thank you, Bill.
All right. Hey, you take care. Good hearing from you, Steve. 770-5633, 770-KMED. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
This is Chris in Medford.
Hello, Chris in Medford. Good to hear from you. What is on your mind? It's a beautiful, I got to tell you, the day is just so beautiful. It's going to be beautiful all this week, really.
Yeah, it's going to be gorgeous. I actually know the reason why they ask if you have had whole milk products.
Sure. Why is that?
It is because of bird flu. because cows can catch bird flu, and it is killed in the pasteurization process.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't kill the cows, but the cows can carry it. It's killed in the pasteurization process, so if you drink milk that has not been pasteurized, then you could potentially get bird flu.
So when they talk about the whole milk products, they're maybe looking for, are you doing a raw milk product? Would it be a more concern?
Exactly. Raw milk products. Yeah, there's been one person die of it in the United States this year. So I think we're pretty safe.
Yeah. Now, I had Jude, who text messaged, had my phone and said they're also concerned about bovine spongiform encephalitis. I guess that's another thing that they're kind of concerned about. So maybe that's why they're looking. All right. Now, let me ask you, Chris. Now, Chris, I talked about my experience at Safeway yesterday when I went there, and they said there's a nationwide shortage of organic dairy products. And they had not a drop of organic milk, cream, nothing like that. It was all gone. Everything, nothing at all. Now, I found it over at Sherm's just fine. Are you aware of any other stores that have this nationwide shortage kind of thing going on? Do you know?
I am not aware, I don't. Organic milk's probably the only organic thing I would buy just because it does taste better. But I haven't heard anything about that, though.
I mean, I haven't had a glass of milk for probably 30, 40 years. I just don't drink milk, but I have half and half and cream. You know, I'll do that now and then.
Right.
But yeah. But with milk, I'm thinking, that's the first time I've seen a sign like that. I've seen things about the eggs for a long, long time. That's finally starting to get a little bit better. It's just expensive, but you can get them now.
Right.
Right.
But yeah, that was something that I had. I don't know. I watch the news so nobody else has to.
You know, that's so funny. That's what I tell the Media Research Center people when they come on. They watch the news so we don't have to.
Right. That's me. That's how many hours of news I watch. So.
All right, Chris, I appreciate the call. Thanks for that. It's open phones this morning here before Dr. Powers pops in here a little bit after 8 o'clock. 770-563-3770 KMED. We will be talking about the ball team situation tomorrow at 8 o'clock with Nick Card. Once again, operator error. I got a fall on my sword over that one. Hey, it happens.
Homeowners are discovering what lawn care professionals have known for.
On KMED, this is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
752 and change. 770-563-3770-KMED. And, of course, Francine is coming here from the sprawling metropolis of very liberal talent. How are you doing this morning, Francine? Welcome back.
Hi, Bill. I'm surviving talent. Basically by not going to town.
Yeah. You are living there. You are within it, but not of it. You're kind of riding above the liberal froth. Okay. Anyway, what's on your mind, huh?
Way out. So listen, I wanted to talk about, there's two things about the dairy thing, you know, and also about the miscarriage thing with the COVID shot.
Yeah. And so people catch up, I was at Safeway over the weekend and they had no organic whatsoever in the dairy section. They put a big sign up there that says, hey, it's due to a nationwide shortage of organic dairy. I was not aware of that until now. Now, I was able to find some for mom over at Sherm's. They didn't put a sign up there, so I don't know what's going on. But go ahead.
Yeah, don't you know, Bill, that remember they were talking about the cows were going to be getting bird flu.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Yeah, and Alex Jones says the frogs are turning gay, too. But I digress, all right?
But frogs have always been, you know, they can go either way. Isn't that an amphibian thing?
It could be.
That they can actually change their gender just. I believe that's an amphibian trait.
Yeah, I don't want to go down the Alex Jones rabbit hole at the moment, though.
No,
please, forgive me.
Alex Jones, this is actual science. I mean,
that part about it. Yeah, I know there's a little bit of that, but yeah, hormones, birth control hormones and everything in the water turning the frogs gay, apparently.
Well, see, he's just a little confused, but Alex has been like that for a while. So. The other thing is, you know, I remember when, you know, the COVID shots were being pushed on us, and I'm very anti-vax. And I did a lot of research. And there were reports coming from other countries, you know, Germany and the UK and stuff, about all the women having miscarriages and who had been given the shot. So I know this is not a story. This is not something that people are just coming up with. This is well known, well documented.
Well, Dr. Thorpe, you know, he brings the receipts too in that book,
yeah,
Sacrifice.
Yeah.
And he's actually looking at this as if the government or forces, nefarious forces there, essentially sacrificed the generation, a generation or two of people.
He's absolutely correct, in my opinion. I'm sorry, but he is. And it's really sad that this is what's happening. But there's no doubt in my mind.
Appreciate the call there. Thank you, Francine. 770-5633. Dave's here. Hello, Dave. Go ahead. You're back on Dr. Thorpe's talk last hour. Go ahead.
Yeah. My doctor, actually two doctors, told me not to take the COVID shot.
Why?
Because they were worried about, blood clotting. And, you know, something else that's really weird is I've been reading reports that a billion people have died in China, and they don't have the replacements. They're looking at somewhere between 300 and 400 million is all they got left.
Yeah,
people.
In fact, it's interesting you brought this up. And one of the sources that I read a similar story to, and this was from Epic Times. Now, Epic Times, of course, is vehemently, I think is the term I really want to say, anti-communist China. They are Chinese, but they are non-communist Chinese. Okay,
right. They're a lot of them. That's the way Taiwan is they're capitalist, and they're probably some of the true capitalists.
Yeah. Well, let me go and just share some of what you might have been reading. This is an Epic Times, came out just a few days ago, and I had saved it. Residents report overcrowded crematoriums and empty neighborhoods in China. This was reported by Alex Wu in the Epic Times. And what they are writing here, Chinese residents around the country continue to reveal on social media and to the Epic Times that amid ongoing respiratory infections and overcrowding at local hospitals and crematoriums, China's villages, towns, and even streets in the big cities are looking eerily empty. And since the outbreak of COVID-19 in China's Wuhan, a wave of mass respiratory infections has appeared across China almost every year. And because of the regime's record of publishing unreliable data, including its underreporting of COVID-19 infections in early 2020, analysts and the public often rely on anecdotal stories and evidence. And this is, and they have a numerous anecdotal stories that are saying that there are a lot of people missing in China right now, which I find interesting.
I've seen on YouTube this Chinese lady that's an American citizen doing a breakdown of China's population from statistically from public information that is reliable that she's got. And she's saying that they've lost a billion people, that they're down to 400 million, and that
that sounds a little sketchy, wouldn't you think?
Well, they're from scientific reports, and they're only estimates because, you know, of course, China lies. And, you know, with the 245% tariffs on China.
Boy, maybe this is Trump trying to tip them over. You ever think about that? Thanks for the call, Dave. Let me go to line 3. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Who's this?
Hello, hello.
Hi.
This is Cherry.
Hi, Cherry. How are you? You going to palate cleanse us this morning or something different?
Yes, I am. I can't believe how great Dark Winds is.
Oh, you watched that after I told you about
God.
It? Is that it?
Oh, my God. We are now in the second season already. It is so authentic about the Navajo. And all.
Wait, you know, but I had people write me that said that there's a lot of BS in the Navajo and the Diné stuff that they were talking about there. And
it's very authentic. They took great pains to have it be that way and have it be the proper language.
By the way, I'm into the third season because I was able to get it on demand over at AMC. They've got it first, right, before it'll go to Netflix. And
yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at this Dark Winds series, this little mini series or limited series, as like, and of course, many of the people that were in Longmire are back in there. Remember the guy that was the tribal chief? He's the lead, or the tribal police chief. He's, he's playing tribal police in this one. And the guy that was the county sheriff, I think is whatever it was, he was the casino owner in Longmire. Remember the Indian casino owner? Remember that story?
I don't think so on that one, but...
I assure you, he's the same guy. He's just older, right?
Yeah,
the same guy that ran the tribal casino that they were always having trouble with Longmire, Sheriff Longmire. But I love it. I just love the show, and like I said, it may not be everybody's cup of tea, but I sure like it.
Oh, I think it's so good. I just can't, I was shocked, and just, oh my gosh. I mean, it is, if you want a good Western, you know, they've brought it back.
Well, the thing being, though, is what I find most... just most beautiful about what's going on with Dark Winds is that I love the landscapes. I love the high desert like that, where they find themselves. Just one of my favorite kind of looks. This is why I love going. I mean, I enjoy our hills that we have around here, Cherry. I really do. But there is nothing that makes me feel better a lot of times when I want to get out and, like a lot of times when I would head over to northeastern California, go to the hot springs. I haven't been there for a few years. But you get out there past Lakeview and those areas, those high desert vistas where the sky just seems to go forever. I just love that feel. Something about it just speaks to me. It's my favorite.
Isn't that wonderful? But the only thing is I don't think I'm going to ever go there because it looks dangerous with all the, you know, weird hiding out criminals.
Oh, I know. And you know, you have the poor Mormon family in the station wagon, right? You know. Getting thrown into the pit of despair. And that was season one, I think, is where that was, right?
Did they survive? Because I know it was obvious that they might have survived. But I wonder if they actually did. I mean, it didn't. It sort of dropped that.
Yeah, they did drop that out. It looks like the rest of the family probably survived. But I don't know Dad. Because remember, Dad, he ended up getting in a car wreck trying to escape. Yeah. Get out of there, right?
Well, they got him out of there. They, mm-hmm. they took him to the hospital. But I just, you know, it was, Rainn Wilson. Oh, my God. What a funny cat that is.
They all are. I appreciate your call, Cherry. Thanks for the palate cleanser, okay? 770-5633. She's our official, I guess, reviewer and talker of audio media. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Audiovisual media. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Brad with the SLM.
Brad, what's on your mind?
Hey, because you're the keeper of all local knowledge. I haven't heard any updates on the casino situation in Medford. Do you know where we stand?
Well, last time I heard is just probably what you heard, that that they were going to move. I think they were just going to move forward with that, weren't they? Gosh, I you know, that kind of slipped. That kind of slipped our gears here, didn't it? Kind of was up in the news here. Let me just do a quick search on this one. I imagine there are going to be people. Gaming machines open in planned Medford casino location. Coquille's uncertain future. Coquille got the green light, and I haven't seen much. They issued a final approval in January 12th, but yeah, I guess they're going to do something, or maybe they have done something. I hate to say this. This one just kind of snuck up on me there. Okay.
Well, the good news in that is there's our funding vehicle for the new jail.
Oh, no. We have to use that as the funding vehicle for the baseball stadium.
Oh, what was I thinking? You're absolutely right.
Now, we need a jail, but, you know, remember, government is not here to give us what we need, Brad. Oh, man, government buddy. Is here to give us entertainment, and we need the breads and circuses, okay? That's what we need.
Yeah. Hey, just because I am now older, I'm 70 and I'm getting retired. Well, kind of in that age group anyway. Thanks for taking care of your mom.
All right.
You know, I enjoy hearing you say that.
Yeah. Got to keep mom in the upright locked position. 85. I don't know if I'll make it to 85, but we'll see. Okay.
Good, brother.
All right. Catch you later. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Boy, we got an interesting where past meets present, because the past of Phoenix, Oregon is interesting, but the present is really kind of odd. You know how we've been talking about how liberals are just in love with all the wrong people? They don't really love people who really belong here. They love everybody who is usually aberrant. That tends to be where they want to place their love. And even the city of Phoenix has been afflicted with this infection. I kid you not. We'll talk about that and more, Dr. Powers.